You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. As we come your way from our studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac across the way today, sitting in for Ben. Ben, a very well-deserved vacation for the rest of the week, and we hope he has a good time, and he'll be back coming up next week. But the ship is in the capable hands of Isaac for the rest of the week here today. We got a jam-packed show for you coming up today in the program. Kirk Ferentz, Matt Campbell meeting the media today. We'll talk about that. Mark's Chicago Bears looking like the monsters of the Midway last night. We'll talk about their victory over the New England Patriots. Major League Baseball talk. We look ahead to the World Series, which gets underway right here on KGYM on Friday night between the Houston Astros and the Philadelphia Phillies. As our friend Cal Eldred will stop by and talk about that, preview it, as well as looking back at the very abrupt championship series in the American League and the National League. And then Maury Hanks will join us. He's going to talk about the upcoming Emerald Coast Classic that the Iowa men's basketball team will be playing in. That will be down in Florida, and we'll talk with him coming up here in just a little bit. We are presented by DePaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DePaco.com. You can also learn more about them by going to our website at KGYMradio.com. As we come your way here on a Tuesday edition of the program from the Circus Sports Iowa Studios on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM Radio Stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. As a lot to get to, and we just have breaking news. The Miami Marlins are set to name Skip Schumacher as their new manager. If you had Skip Schumacher to take over for Don Mattingly, you get the W down in South Florida. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good. Good afternoon to you and everyone
Why
out there.
Why wouldn't you be doing well?
Yeah, that was a fun night last night.
You didn't even see that coming, did you?
No, I said on the show yesterday, by the way, nice to be working with Isaac again, but no, I said on yesterday's show I didn't have an ounce of optimism, but man, I haven't seen the Bears play that well in a long time, especially on the road at Belichick Stadium. I mean, that was fun.
Wasn't fun. Wasn't fun being a reporter in Bill Belichick's post-game news conference.
It never is.
Oh. Holy cow. Yeah, coach, who's going to be your starting quarterback next week? I know Spencer played the clip a couple times.
We'll see.
We just played the game.
We'll see.
Not fun, and I envy those guys as well. We'll get to people covering coaches here in just a moment at 8 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Kirk Ferentz, pretty long news conference today for Kirk. I believe still going 15 minutes ago when I left the home compound, as a matter of fact, as he was addressing a lot of things and some of those kind of off-field situations as well. Was not real happy with a certain reporter in Columbus, Ohio. Let me just tell you that. At the present time.
First name Doug?
He may have been Doug, yeah. Our friend Doug. Well, we've never talked to Doug, but Kirk is not a fan. Kirk will not be getting the Columbus Dispatch.
I don't know why he hopped on the Iowa beat, but he did.
Yeah. Hey, something to write about, I guess. It gets tiring, by the way, to talk about a team that wins 12 games every year.
I suppose.
Maybe that's the case, but anyway, Kirk wasn't happy about that. As far as football situations are concerned, no quarterback named today. If you are surprised about that, you shouldn't be. According to the players, it's pretty much a 50-50 split between reps for Alex Padilla and Spencer Petras right now. Today and tomorrow are the two heavy days as far as the work week in preparation for Saturday, Iowa and Northwestern coming up mid-afternoon at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. And so no leaning one way or the other as far as that situation is concerned. That's probably the biggest piece of news coming out of there today.
And Kirk didn't rule out using a rotation of Petras and Padilla, which I think is a horrible idea. You got to go with one, stick with them. I mean, it's rotating quarterbacks, and he said that he's not a big fan of that, but did not rule it out. Who will start the Northwestern game at quarterback? That is a subject of our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Steve Anderson and his crew setting up shop at Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Who will start? Will it be Spencer Petras or Alex Padilla?
Yeah. I don't know. I still don't know. I don't have a clue. I'm with you, though. I don't think a rotation is probably the best way to go about it.
I suppose it's worked in other programs, but at the college level, I just don't think it's the best idea. Belichick didn't rotate last night, but he started Mac Jones and brought in Bailey Zappi. And
Crowd loved it.
Well, until Zappi threw a couple interceptions.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work. So make a decision. Go forward with it.
Stick with it. And, yeah, may the best man win. As far as
who
that
do you think it's going to be?
Concerned. I have no idea. I have no idea in the world who it's going to be at this point.
I think it's going to be Petras.
I'm 51.5 to 48.5 with you. How's that? Not squarely on the fence, but we're not off the top of it right now. We are leaning one way. But I
might be
you.
A short leash.
Could be. Could be. And we talked yesterday, and if you missed the program, we had a great discussion with our listeners out there. And you can go back and listen to it. The podcast available at KGYMRadio.com. You can hear it there, or you can hear it on Apple or Spotify. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. It's text already starting to fly in. 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. 319-366-1600. Doesn't matter with our bad O-line plays. It's 4702. Kirk addressed that a little bit today.
Ding.
Thank you, Mark. The dinger is still here. Said that he has been noticing improvement in practice as far as the offensive line is concerned. That's not playing Ohio State, and he said pretty much the same thing. That is not playing Ohio State. It's not a game situation. He didn't mention that it's not playing Ohio State. But
it's not.
He talked about, they mentioned Connor Colby a little bit on the fact that going to the outside, playing tackle a little bit, needs to work a little bit more as far as his technique is concerned. Likes the way he is progressing, however. And just, positives, if you will, as far as the offensive line is concerned. You don't want to lambaste them. Now, you don't want to do that. Kirk knows they're not playing well. He knows they're not playing well. They all know they're not playing well. But he's not going to throw them under a bus publicly.
9663 on the text line. I'm really curious, and this is right down your alley, Scott, if there will be a lot of empty seats at Kinnick this Saturday. I know it's sold out and it's homecoming, but I'm just kind of curious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think there's a question. Supposed to be a decent day, and I think this is going to be the first time you're going to notice some empty
seats. It doesn't matter if they're already sold.
They're going to notice they're empty.
It doesn't matter. the financial aspect of it. If the stadium is two-thirds full, that's going to be a statement on the part of Iowa fans, I think.
Yeah. Like, I get the frustration with Iowa football, but why can't people just accept that it's a bad year and move on? Any changes you make this year isn't going to do anything. Fire Brian, change QB, etc. It's not going to change. Yeah, I think it's a fairly accurate statement. And there's not going to be a 180-degree change. Now, with that being said, the guys wearing purple this week, even though they've had Iowa's number as of late, they are not wearing scarlet and gray. And there's going to be a big difference in talent between those two teams. Can Iowa get well quickly? I think they can definitely get better and take a step forward. They have to take a step forward.
As Kirk said, you can't win five in a row without winning one.
Very true.
And that seems very basic reasoning, but it's so true. 81-86, taking my youngest son to his first Kinnick experience Saturday, hoping for something positive.
You may want to bring earmuffs if things start to go bad. be cognizant of those around you at Kinnick coming up. Hey, before we get to a break and get to Maury Hicks here, we're going to talk some basketball and we're going to talk some baseball with you as well. Matt Campbell meeting the media in Ames today as well, saying the Cyclones are as healthy as they have been all year. And that includes the running back room at this present time. That is good to see. And a lot of positives coming out of Matt Campbell. And talked about special teams today as well, that they really don't have. They include every coach as far as special teams are concerned. And that set off a firestorm a little bit in among the fan base in Ames, because special teams have not been particularly strong for Iowa State. They've been okay, but not particularly strong. And, you know, a lot of teams have one guy in charge and said that they have everybody that puts input as far as special teams are concerned. Iowa State, Oklahoma coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, and OU is a different team, it seems, with Dylan Gabriel back at the helm at quarterback for Oklahoma. He missed the Texas game and one other game. Oklahoma got whipped at Texas, as most of you know. That's basically a toss-up. And we'll pick that game Friday on the Eagles Hideaway Pick 6.
All right. We're going to take a break, get you a weather update. And when we come back, Maury Hanks is going to join us. And we're going to talk about the Emerald Coast Classic. Iowa basketball. Yeah. Get started next Monday with the exhibition game against Truman State at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And then next month will be the Emerald Coast Classic. So we'll talk with Maury when we come back here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we're going to be in the clouds for much of the afternoon. The chance exists for a few sprinkles here and there. Otherwise, it's going to be cool and a bit breezy. Temperatures will be around 50 degrees, and then later tonight, clouds will clear. Temperatures drop down into the mid-30s by morning. Tomorrow, we'll have more sunshine. Temperatures still cool, but a bit warmer than today in the mid-50s, and we'll be in the upper 50s for the end of the week. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertine and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertine and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Back with you in the Gym Class here at KGYM, 19 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Thanks for joining us today. Do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on this Tuesday, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Coach's Cuts coming up on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They will have comments from Kirk Ferentz in his news conference, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. That is football. We're going to talk some Hawkeye basketball. As joining us here on the program on this Tuesday is Maury Hanks from Global Sports Management. He's the CEO of Global Sports Management, and they are putting on the Emerald Coast Classic. That is over Thanksgiving weekend. Starts on Friday, November the 25th. Iowa will be down there. The Hawkeyes and Fran McCaffrey will take on the Clemson Tigers in one semifinal. That'll be followed by TCU taking on Cal in the other, and then the championship and the third place game coming up on Saturday, November the 26th. Maury, thanks for the time and joining us today. Appreciate it. And you're a busy guy getting ready for all the basketball coming up. You're about as busy as the coaches, right?
Yes, we've got a lot to do for the tournament, but we've got a great staff down at Northwest Florida State College where the game's played. And I've got a great media director, Mike Mahon, that some of you know. So a lot to do, but we do a pretty good job of being prepared for it. And also, thank you for having me on.
Maury, how do you go about selecting the teams? I know Iowa State won it in, 2015, something like that. Iowa involved this year. How do you go about selecting the teams?
Yes, this is actually Iowa's second time down there. I believe they were there in 2016. We just try to find the best teams that we can. You know, you can only play in an event once every 4 years. And so there's some teams I know that we're not going to be able to get for whatever reason. You know, they're too far away. Gonzaga, let's say, they can go play in Maui. They can go and play an event in Las Vegas, you know, things like that. They can go to the Bahamas. The tournament in Bahamas pays schools a lot of money to go down there and play. So we try to get the best teams we have that we possibly can. In 2019, we had three Sweet 16 teams, three teams that were ranked in the top 15 all year. We've had Baylor 2 years before they won the national championship, Virginia 2 years before they won the national championship. And we've got four Power Five programs this year, as you said. Iowa's playing Clemson in the first game at 6 o'clock, and TCU is a top 15 team preseason, is playing Cal from the Pac-12. So we're excited about the field we have this year, and really excited about the Hawkeyes making another return trip down there.
Yeah, a return trip, because last time Iowa was there, the first time Iowa was there, it was the Peter Jott game when he went off for over 40.
Yes, it's still the most points scored in an Emerald Coast Classic game that I think they were playing Memphis.
True. 42, I think he had, as far as that game is concerned, and that is still the record as far as the tournament is concerned. And you guys put together a whole bunch of tournaments throughout the years. I've been doing this a long time anyway, and like you said, there are a lot of things to take into consideration as far as bringing teams in, and kind of go over that with us.
Yeah, you know, we try to get a good blend of teams, and it's getting harder and harder as there's more events like this. But we've got a great, you know, fans, you know, that are listening to you now. They can fly into Fort Walton Beach, which is 8 miles away from the gym. They can also fly into Pensacola and Panama City. So we have that going for us. We have the best beaches in the continental United States. If I blindfolded you and put you on the beach there, you would think you were in the Caribbean. Not overly expensive to stay that time of year, very easy to travel to. And the best part of it for a basketball fan is there's only 2,300 seats in the arena. There's only 11 rows from the floor to the top row. Every seat's a chair back, and there's not a bad seat in the house. And, you know, tickets start at $20, and that's just not for the Hawkeye game. You get to see two games, so you'll get to see Iowa play Clemson. If you're a basketball fan, you want to stick around, you can see TCU and Cal, and the same thing the next day. You can get two games for $20.
You're also involved in the Cayman Islands Classic. I didn't want to go away from the Emerald Coast Classic, but Kevin Lehman is a friend of the show. He's on frequently, and he speaks highly of that tournament as well.
Yes, I do the basketball basketball logistics of that, finding the teams, hiring the referees. I work with KMAC Sports down there, And it's a very nice event. So we've got a good field this year. Iowa's been down there in the past. Coach McCaffrey was kind enough to bring his team down there when we were just starting out. The tournament had been hurt the last 2 years because of COVID. We had to cancel it because they kept the borders pretty tight in the Caymans. But it's a fantastic event as well.
Yeah, it really is. We take a look at the Emerald Coast Classic coming up next month right here on the Jim Classy Tuesday edition here on KGYM. And you mentioned you don't have to say a lot to promote Florida and to get people down there anyway. And a really good time to go, too, over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. You can make good plans and get down there very, very easily.
Yes, you can. And if you go to our website, emeraldcoastclassic.com, they've got links to hotels. They've also got tickets right there. You click on the ticket tab. It will show you the arena, and it'll show you what seats are available. You click on there, and you purchase your tickets that way, and they'll be waiting for you when you arrive at the arena. And, again, like I said, not a bad seat in the house, 2,300 seats. Last time the Hawkeyes came, they had a very good following, and I expect them to bring some fans down again this year. And looking forward to a good tournament.
Maury, we've been told that you're not only highly respected among NCAA basketball coaches, but you throw quite a party at the Final Four. Can you peel back the curtains on that a little bit?
Yes, I've been, gentlemen, I've been around college basketball since 1984. I was a graduate assistant at UC Santa Barbara, and it was a long, long time ago. And so I'm not perfect and whatnot, but it's not 6 degrees of separation. I usually either know somebody on each staff, or if I don't, somebody can call and, put me right there to the front door. And we have a good time at my party at the Final Four. It's basically, I do it to kind of thank people for doing business with me during the year, for being friends with me over a long time. And, I get a lot of friends in college basketball that I don't do any business with. I've been doing this such a long time, but I really enjoy doing it and enjoy seeing everybody. Again, I hadn't had it in a couple of years, due to COVID. And so this past year in New Orleans was a good time to, see people and reconnect with them.
You better have Jim Nance come to the party, because this is it for him as far as calling the Final Four.
Yes, I just saw that. He's going out on top in his hometown of Houston. I guess that's why, one of the reasons he's doing it.
Yeah, and I would imagine having a lot of Iowa fans down there, you expect a lot of them. Clemson's very close as well, so not a very, it's a very quick trip as far as those people are concerned. And I think TCU is going to be one of the best teams in the Big 12 this year. And Kevin said, as a matter of fact, last week when we talked with him, he believes the Big 12 is going to have the best basketball conference in America this year. So you got a good field.
Yes, we do have a good field this year. We're excited about it. TCU returns almost their entire team. One quick note about that is I grew up with Jamie Dixon. We're both from the San Fernando Valley, so I've known Jamie a long, long, long time. We're both getting old, but I'm happy for his success. He's done a great job there. So we're excited about all the teams that are coming down, and like I said, it would like to invite all the Hawkeye fans to come down there. It's very easy to get to. As I said, they can fly into Fort Walton Beach or Panama City and Pensacola, are both about 45, 50 minutes on the east and west of Destin.
There you go.
So if they want to fly in there, it's very easy to get over there.
Awesome. Awesome. Website for the tournament and for more information for people to take a look at it that are considering going down there, Maury.
Yes, EmeraldCoastClassic.com. And again, there's you click on the travel tab, and they'll show different hotels that have deals and things of that nature. You click on the ticket tab, you can buy tickets. They'll be waiting for you when you get to the arena. Very easy to get in and out of the arena and whatnot. And like I said, it's usually, we've been very fortunate, but usually the average temperature that weekend in Destin is about 70 degrees.
Ooh. It's going to be slightly warmer than it'll be, I'm going to predict, at Iowa-Nebraska kickoff. So I'm just going to go with that. You are a gaucho then. So do they do the tortillas still? Is that the place that does the tortillas?
I don't know if they still do it. When I was there, Coach Jerry Pym, fantastic coach, had been at Utah, took the program over, and they weren't very good, and they got it to where, you know, they had, you know, Brian Shawn, a couple other NBA players, and they packed the place, and it's a beautiful place. It's one of the few campuses in the United States that's literally right on the ocean, and Santa Barbara's a spectacular place. But yeah, so I've been around here. I've been around basketball college basketball a long time.
I miss Big Monday with the old Big West at 11 o'clock.
Yep. Exactly. When UNLV was there and they played Fresno State, and I mean, they had, those were some great, great games. Long Beach State with Seth Greenberg from ESPN was there. Joe Harrington was the head coach before Seth. And they had great competition out of the Big West.
And New Mexico State. Don't forget the Aggies.
Yeah, New Mexico State. Neil McCarthy was the coach there. A good friend of mine, Gar Forman, longtime general manager of the Chicago Bulls, was a former assistant at Iowa State. Before he came to Iowa State, he recruited a bunch of the guys that had played at New Mexico State. They were a great team.
Your company's based in Knoxville, Maury. How are you dealing with the Vol fans?
It is. I've only lived here 11 years. My wife is from here, and I'm glad they're doing well, because all the guys I golf and hang out with, most of them went to Tennessee, and it's great to see after such a long kind of drought. But if you haven't seen the Volunteers play, they are really, really exciting on offense. And, Coach Heupel, I'm from a small town in South Dakota, and so is he. So I cheer for him for that as well.
Yeah. Well, Maury, hey, thanks for the time. I appreciate all the information, and have a great basketball season and a great tournament down in Florida at the Emerald Coast Classic, and appreciate you hopping on with us.
Oh, thank you very much, gentlemen, for having me on. You have a great day.
All right. Maury Hanks joining us here, talking about the Emerald Coast Classic down in Florida coming up over Thanksgiving weekend. Iowa will be down there to take on Clemson, TCU, and Cal, the other two teams involved in that one. 3:31, Mark, we're going to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue, Southeast in Cedar Rapids, across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, and behind Taco John's.
Iowa's Caitlin Clark and Iowa State's Ashley Jones have been named to the Associated Press All-America preseason women's basketball team, not surprisingly. The 2023 Big Ten football schedules will be announced tomorrow on the Big Ten Network at 11 a.m.
Mm.
More than a few folks might be interested in that. And finally, 35 years ago today, the Twins beat the St. Louis Cardinals 4-2 to win their first World Series.
You know what happened the year prior to that on this day?
I'm tearing up.
That would be the Bill Buckner play.
Yes.
Red Sox Mets.
Yeah.
Or as the Mets fans just say, game six. Game six. That's all you need to say right there. 3:32. We'll take a break. Come back. Cal Eldren will join us. We'll talk baseball with Cal when we return here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No, you actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 9th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
The Trinity of Terror. One night in Cedar Rapids. Black Veil Brides. Motionless in White. We unite to ride. Ice Nine Kills. Friday, November 11th, the Alliant Energy Powerhouse. Tickets are on sale now at creventslive.com. Black Veil Brides, Motionless in White, Ice Nine Kills. Special guest, Atreyu.
How do you make the most of your land? Well, Shaw does it with a John Deere 1025R tractor, so he can
make the earth take the shape that I want it to take.
While the Allens use a John Deere 3032E tractor to
grow about 9 acres of flowers.
There are millions of ways to make the most of your land. How will you make the most of yours? Nothing runs like a deer.
Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty.
or find them online at citytractor.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you in the gym class at 3:34 here in KGYM. Chris List joins us coming up tomorrow to answer your fantasy football questions. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. Don't forget, coming up on Friday, it'll be the next time you can download our Before the Boom podcast as we preview Iowa and Northwestern from Kinnick Stadium for Homecoming 2022. And the podcast this year is brought to you by Edith Lucille's. They are on the banks of Squaw Creek on Mount Vernon Road, southeast in Cedar Rapids. 319-366-1600 as gym class rolls on for this Tuesday edition of the program as we get ready to talk some baseball with you. Cal Eldred joins us right now as we get ready. We're in a holding pattern now for the World Series, as it'll be the Houston Astros, the number one seed out of the American League, against the Cinderella Philadelphia Fighting Phillies, the number six seed out of the National League. I have to stand up and take a bow. You too, I think, Cal. As we both said, the Phillies were going to win this thing.
Well, I may have. I'm trying to remember, but I know I thought the Yankees would get there, and I did mess that one up for sure.
Oh, I messed that one up, but I'm going to hang on the Phillies, though.
Why not?
Hey, Cal, going back to the NLCS, the Padres didn't use Josh Hader, especially against Bryce Harper in the eighth inning, and the story goes that they wanted to get Hader in a four-out situation. What was your observation there?
Well, it's tough because you saw, if you go back to the Cleveland series against Houston, you get to that last game, and you saw Cleveland go to Class A in that final and then this decisive game, and when they were down, and he hadn't pitched, and he pitched early in the game. He pitched, I think it was the seventh. He came in the game. And I think there's a time, and we've done this, I've seen this done even in the regular season, where there's a time when, and the kid we used in Kansas City, Scott Barlow, to finish most of our games, if there was a time when, man, we actually needed to flip it and go backwards, that, like, when you're talking about Harper coming up and you've got that young man, a nasty lefty down in the bullpen, you need to go to him. And then you've got to keep the lead to get to the eighth, and keep the lead in the eighth to get to the ninth, and then piece it together when you get there. So I think that's really the thing that you hear some fans, you hear analysts in baseball saying that same thing, that you've got to get to those later innings, and because they feel like, especially when you get towards the sixth, seventh inning, ball games can be decided at that point in time.
Well, and things are different now with the new rules as far as pitching, you know, three batters is concerned as well. I mean, that changes strategy in a big, big way, especially when you get to a playoff situation.
Well, and what it does at times, and obviously this is to add more offense, it has, you know, a guy like Hader, really right-handers, left-handers don't matter much to him. But when you've got guys, especially you see the left-hander that struggles against right-handed hitters, and it forces that guy to have to face at least one right-handed bat that manager does not want him to face. But in these key times, it's better to have the advantage in two out of the three than only one. So I think it's a big deal. I mean, it is a big deal that Hader was sitting on the bench, and Harper comes up and does what he did. You know, it's a tough scenario, but I personally look at it, Mark. I know in the past I've been, hey, a closer is a closer, and he knows when he pitches and he's the best. But sometimes he's your best pitcher, and most of the time he's your best pitcher, and the situation calls for him to be in that game.
Speaking of scenarios, Cal, paint us one that has Philly winning the World Series.
They get to Verlander early in Game One. To me, if Philadelphia can do that, because
Verlander's been, it's proven, if you don't get to him early, the guy's going to settle in. He's going to figure out what his stuff is doing. Even if it's not his best stuff, he's still going to figure out how to get guys out. There's too much experience there, but they need to get to him early. And then whether it's, you know, whether it's one of the next two starts, they need to make sure they put enough pressure on the next two starting pitchers. That's Philadelphia's hitters, put enough pressure on Houston's next two starters in game two and game three so that they don't go deep into the game. Because already this postseason, there's been more innings pitched by starting pitchers than in recent years. And we still could be seven games left. So I think it's, to me, that is, if Philadelphia can make those Houston starting pitchers in the first three games throw a lot of pitches and get them out of there by in five innings or less, and the key to me, Mark, is Justin Verlander. They got to get after him early in that first game.
And another good game out of Zach Wheeler, probably.
Yeah, I think Wheeler and Nola, they got to have a great World Series for Philadelphia to win. I mean, those are the two aces that the Phillies have, and they got to lead the way.
No doubt. And if they've done it so far, they've at least, you know, Wheeler's been dominant. Nola, they started to get to him. San Diego did, but your point exactly, Scott. It is 100% these two guys, they need them to pitch twice if the series goes long and both of them have to dominate. And then Philly's bullpen is going to have their work cut out for them, but they're going to have to outperform a very, very good Astros bullpen.
Yeah, I wonder about the mentality of the two teams too, Cal. You've been involved in the World Series. Sometimes there's a team like Houston that been there, done that, we're going to do it again. And then you got the Phillies that may just be happy to be there. Is my off base there?
No. I think you look at I've seen several teams. I know there's a Cardinals team that won it and with only 86 wins in the regular season. They're on a hot streak. I mean, Hoskins is hitting his homers at the right time. Schwarber has playoff experience. Castellanos has some playoff experience. Bryce Harper is hitting at the right moment in his career. He has experience. He's under control. You can see the team rallies around him. There's so many things that Philadelphia has going for him that, you know, they're a little – you know, I'm not huge on, you know, the motivation slogans that teams have, but, you know, they said, why not us? You know, and I have the tendency to agree with them. Why not them? Because there's enough veteran players and guys with experience on that Philadelphia roster to be able to beat a Houston team. Won't be easy, and I think it's going to take six or seven games for them to do it. Probably seven, but it could happen.
Cal Elder joining us here at 3:43 on the Gym Class, a Tuesday edition here on KGYM. Now that you can look back on it, and we talked about it a lot, and that is, did you see a hangover from the San Diego Padres off that Dodger victory? I did.
You know what, Scott? You nailed that one. That was all you right there. You want to hang your hat on something, that's it right there. They did have a hangover. I don't think they were ready they weren't ready to get punched in the face like Philadelphia punched them. And then they didn't have – they tried to come back. They did fight, but they just made too many mistakes. And as you could see, their energy was gone. You could see the big moments that obviously Philadelphia was having. And Philadelphia's playing like they had nothing to lose, and all of a sudden San Diego felt like they had something to lose. So I completely agree with you. I think that was a great call.
I wanted to ask you a question about the Yankees and Houston and Aaron Boone saying that the roof being retracted probably cost them that last game because Aaron Judge's ball would have went out, despite the fact that those who analyze these sort of things said that ball would have been out in one other ballpark, and you know which one that is.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you it's. You know, when you see that, there are small instances where one team seemingly gets the advantage. And it does fly different if you've ever been in Houston and when the roof is open. And Yankee Stadium is so short in right field that, you know, that kid, when Judge Miss hits a ball to right field, it's still a home run a lot of the times. So I think that it's – and the ballpark, even in Houston, is not very deep in right field. It's a great place to hit. So with the roof open, with the roof closed, Houston's ballpark is a great place to hit as long as you keep it out of center field. But I think the fact that where I see the tough part with the Yankees is that I watched Andrew Benintendi every day, and they needed that kid in that lineup. Mm-hmm. And they also – that when I would scout the Yankees and get pitchers ready to go against the Yankees, the toughest guy to figure out how to pitch to was DJ LeMahieu. And he was the guy that always seemed to come up and keep the rally going or get the big hit. And they sorely missed those two players for sure.
I would agree. I would agree on that. And this World Series coming up, we talked about the importance of Nola and Wheeler. Houston's been there so many times, and, you know, for good or for bad, and people are, you know, I hate to say banging on the Astros, but that is what they are doing. Pun and no pun intended. Right there anyway. But you got to tip your hat to this team. I mean, this is a good, good baseball team, no matter what happened a few years back. They're good baseball players. They are clutch players. And it just seems that the pipeline doesn't dry up for Houston. And good for Dusty Baker, too.
Yeah, I think, and you know, you got to give Dusty some credit. When you see that, you know, McCormick was sent back to the minor leagues at one point. I've seen him to where he cannot lay off a high fastball. He couldn't lay off sliders down and away, facing them two different times in the season. And you know, Tucker, Tucker's not even at the top of his game. Gurriel's doing the little things at the plate to be able to move runners over. Alvarez, when we saw Alvarez at one point, good gracious, that guy was, you know, he was Zulu hot. I mean, it was crazy how hot that guy can get. And so there, plus the other thing is that organization believes in defensive catching. They believe in it. No, Realmuto Tuo is the real deal. There's no question in Philadelphia, but I've worked with Martin Maldonado, Vasquez with Boston. I mentioned him last week. I'm just telling you, these guys know how to call a game, and they know how to do scouting reports. And when you got pitchers that control the ball where they're supposed to with the sharpness that they have, you got to give them credit. But Scott, you alluded to something way back when that team was sold, and they back when they traded guys like Hunter Pence, and they shifted gears and went ahead and sold the farm there. They made some really good decisions on guys that have been there for a long time. With Altuve and Bregman and Correa and Springer, and two of those guys aren't even there anymore, but they've continued to bring players up that are gamers, and that's why they continue to win.
Cal, I don't know if you've seen or heard this. The Marlins have named a new manager and a guy you're pretty familiar with, huh?
Yes, I actually was hesitating texting my buddy Skip because I know he's being barraged right now. What a wonderful man, Skip Schumacher, really nice family. Got to see a kid who would tell you as a player he had one tool that he could actually hit, and it was his arm. but he would close in college when he wasn't playing in the infield or the outfield. But Skip's a grinder, very intelligent, hardworking guy, and so I'm really, really happy for Skip Schumacher.
Yeah, that being announced today down in South Florida. And I'll ask you a couple of what-ifs for next year, Cal, before we get into the World Series. Number one, there are a lot of rumblings, and I think this is starting to grow a little bit, that it could be part deux on the south side of Chicago for Ozzie Guillen. Good or bad?
Whew. Man.
Remember, he may need a pitching coach.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be a roller coaster ride?
Hey, it would never be boring.
Yeah, you better call Coop and get Coop back. He's the only one that can handle that, I think. You know what? It depends on the group of players that you have, depending on the manager that you need. And they do have a lot. Their base is a lot of Latin players who are extremely talented. We'll just call it as it is. And they have really good pitching. So they have the pieces. There's no question. But you got to get those players motivated to play. And I'm not saying that Tony La Russa couldn't do that, but if you're going to ask me who's a better fit there, it may be Ozzie. And Ozzie's been away from it long enough, and I'm guarantee you his antics have slowed down. Otherwise, they wouldn't have him on the postgame show there in Chicago. So, you know what? It would not surprise me one bit.
Can I part two of my question? Where does Aaron Judge reside next year?
Oh, the Yankees cannot not sign him.
I agree. I think he's a Yankee.
Yeah. There may be a lot of people that disagree with me. I see some of the other places. Maybe the Dodgers could reel him in. Maybe. That would be the only other team I would think might make that happen. That's another step that they could take. But I think how can they not have him back? And that's my feeling. Unless – you know what? Aaron Judge wants to go someplace else. I don't, and it would have to be to another franchise that can pay the money like the Dodgers could pay or the Yankees could pay. But, man, I just don't see how he does not end up back in a Yankee uniform.
Okay, prediction on the World Series, Cal.
Well, I'm going with Houston. I know I painted that scenario, Mark, and whether we could obviously – you guys could shoot holes in that for Philadelphia to win, but I'm going to go with Houston. But I will put a little asterisk next to this, and not because there's going to be any garbage cans beat on in the next week and a half. But I will say that with the momentum that Philadelphia has, it wouldn't surprise me that they end up pulling this out some way, somehow.
Scott.
I think it's the Astros. I mean, I'd love to see the Phillies win. I don't have a dog in the fight in this one, but, you know, Philadelphia's a great story. But I think Houston just has too much talent, too much experience, and I think the Astros win it in 5 or 6.
Heart says Phillies for me. Head says Astros.
Yep.
Yeah. I think, boy, I don't know. And for the Phillies to win... I mean, Bryce Harper's got to be their top guy. Schwarber's got to hit home runs. Bryce Harper's got to hit home runs. They got to get guys on ahead of them. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, that's the scenario. And like we said, get Wheeler and Nola to pitch well.
Yeah, the starting pitching has to be there for Philadelphia. Philadelphia's starters are going to have those two guys mainly. Their bullpen's going to have to step up. The tough thing about it, guys, and I know I talk about the pitching a lot, but Houston's lineup just keeps coming after you. They just keep coming after you. And when you see McCormick and Vasquez or Maldonado get a hit here and there, man, it's a grind.
We'll see how our predictions come out. We all said Houston, so if Philadelphia wins, we're all having egg on our face, but
some of us can handle that. It's all right, fellas. It's all right. It'll be okay.
You got a little time till Friday, so you got time to get things done, and then the World Series comes up. So we'll talk next week, Cal. But hey, always appreciate it. Thanks for the time, and enjoy the World Series.
Will do. You too. Everybody out there, enjoy it.
All right. Thanks. Cal Elder joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, talking some baseball with you at 3:53. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up after this.
CRST is looking for diesel truck mechanics in Cedar Rapids. Come help maintain their fleet of tractors and trailers. All skill levels are encouraged to apply. Even if you're not sure you meet the requirements, apply and try. CRST offers competitive starting wages and a comprehensive benefits package, plus four-day work weeks, a boot allowance, uniform laundry services, and the latest shop tools and equipment. Apply to be a diesel truck mechanic now at CRST.com/jobs or contact McCall Atwater at 319-440-1034.
It's a weekend blitz with Elite Sportsbook. Place four bets of $50 or more on football, one each day from Thursday through Sunday, and get a $15 free bet. It can't get any easier than that. And don't forget, new signups can take advantage of their first bet being risk-free up to $500. Check out our updated app with integrated funding and increased functionality and play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Back with you to wrap things up and the final minutes of a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Tomorrow, Chris Liss will join us. Thursday, John Steppy of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, who covers the Iowa Hawkeyes, will join us. And we got a lot to talk about with John. And more because at the end of the Kirk News Conference today, things got a little, I'm not going to say hairy or anything like that, but Kirk addressed how the media addressed him and his players. He said he was proud of the way his players handled things, but then Kirk wasn't happy with the writer from Ohio State. And now everyone is, boy, people are piling on now. Right now, saying, you know, Kirk has not handled this well, et cetera, et cetera. More on this coming up with Todd and Alex, I'm sure. But, I mean, right now, let's put an analogy out there. Nothing is going right for Kirk Ferentz, is it? Or anything associated with the Iowa football program?
Very little.
Very little. Like I said, this kind of came down when we were on the air, so I haven't had a chance to really take a look at it, but just skimming it as on social networking here, people are just going bananas right now. Again, for the second time in a span of 3 or 4 days.
You expect Kirk is going to stand up for his players, and it's his right to call out this I think it's mainly directed at the writer in Ohio for whatever reason. Covers the Buckeyes, but decided to go down the road with Iowa football, Ferentz nepotism, and a few other things. So, I don't know. That was kind of weird.
But I'm sure more to come in the next few days as far as this is concerned. Hey, nothing that a win could take care of and a win that looks good against a team that's had your number as of late. Iowa needs a win more, perhaps, than they have ever needed a win. Before the Boom podcast will come out on Friday as we get together and talk about Iowa Northwestern. Iowa State needing a win as well. They take on the Oklahoma Sooners on Saturday. Big, big college football weekend coming up in the state of Iowa. Chris Liss will join us coming up tomorrow. A lot more on the Wednesday edition of the program, so stay with us for that. And looking forward to getting together tomorrow with everyone starting at 3. You have a very, very good night tonight.
I will, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Have yourselves a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
You can't get much for $5 these days unless you go to Wendy's for a $5 Biggie Bag. Get your choice of double stack.